Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. My friends, this weekend we prepare for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And also, we celebrate the Independence Day and the 4th of July this Monday. So with that, let's begin our program with our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart wide open for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you now free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to the four questions, and please engage with me in the Word of God at this time. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 10 through 14. And here it is. Thus says the Lord, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her. All you who love her, exult. Exult with her. All you who are mourning over her, oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breast. For thus says the Lord, lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall be finding your comfort. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our first reading today from the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, the word of God tells us that the Lord's power shall be known to his servants. So are you and I, my friends, serving the Lord? And in what ways are we doing that? Because we want to be cognizant of the power of our Lord. We want to see it visibly and understand it, acknowledge it. We want to respect it, have reverence for the Lord at all times. But are we serving the Lord? And the Lord talks about Jerusalem in such a beautiful way and talks about spreading prosperity over Jerusalem like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. And he talks about Jerusalem in such a special way using a mother and a child. He says, as nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And this is the focus today of our first reading, my friends, that we should be in this beautiful relationship with our Lord so that we too can be comforted by our Lord. And when we are in that personal relationship, God gives us everything we need. He fulfills, you know, every expectation that we have. And it's important that we have a chance to see that live and we cultivate that relationship And so in that relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ, as it grows, we want to serve the Lord. We want to put our faith into action, be a doer of the word. So what ways are you and I serving the Lord today? Are we, involved in ministry work? Are we involved in community service work in any way, 1 to 2 hours a week? I know in the WINGS program, one of the objectives for all of our people who come through the WINGS program is to make sure that in the 168, the total number of hours in a week, people are involved 1 to 2 hours in a week of giving back to the community, serving other people, making a real effort to give back, to serve. And the Lord says, whatever you do for the least of our brothers, you've done it for me. And whatever you did not do for the least of my brothers, you didn't do it for me. So the Lord, identifies that as being important, and he wants us to do for other people. First and foremost, to love one another, to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we're not loving other people, but we are serving them in different ways, out of obligation, without a smile on our face, without a kind word, a firm handshake, without just a conversation to let them know that we do care, then, we're missing the moment, because the Lord calls us to do it with great love. And he wants us to serve, to give back. It's part of that relationship with Christ, that we are giving back. And I always suggest that that service be something that you really like to do or love to do. Because if you do that, you'll be doing it for many years to come, something you enjoy, versus something that you don't enjoy and start it but stop it because you're not satisfied with the type of service that you're involved with. So getting involved with service is important, but using the talents that God gave you, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to go out and to touch other people, to serve one another. And it all starts with 1 to 2 hours a week. But can we do more? Can we step it up to 8 hours a week, 4 hours a week, whatever fits into your schedule, whatever works for your family life? But it's important that we give back to other people and to serve. And in that service, we see the power of our Lord, which is so important. God says that the Lord's power shall be known to his servants. And we want to understand that phraseology, that terminology, that we are his servants, and he will reveal his power to us. It will be made known to us because of what we are doing for the Lord. He wants us to understand the greatness. And God's word says that man can do no great things. Only God's word, God can do great things. And that's confirmed in his word. And it's just a powerful statement, but we want to be, aware of God's power as we serve other people. And let's go to our second reading from St. Paul in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither does circumcision mean anything, nor does uncircumcision, but only a new creation. Peace and mercy be to all who follow this rule, and to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make troubles for me, for I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. And from the mouth of St. Paul today in the book of Galatians, my brothers and sisters, St. Paul tells us to be careful not to boast. He says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be careful about that, because things on this earth can become more important than our relationship with God. And we can put God on the back burner because of our priorities changing. And we want to be sure that we're careful about boasting. We can enjoy things. We can identify them as being, you know, achievements. But we have to be careful not to continuously boast about the things that we are involved with, because the Lord tells us this, and it's confirmed in the book of Galatians today by St. Paul himself. And he says that peace and mercy be to all who follow this rule and to the Israel of God. So are we bringing peace, my friends? Are you and I bringing peace to other people when we greet them, in conversation with them? Is our home a peaceful environment? When we go to visit other family members and friends in their homes, are we bringing the peace of Christ? Or do we bring something other than peace? Do we bring fear? Are we bringing depression, anxiety? What is it that you and I bring each and every time we visit our family and friends? When people come into our homes, are we bringing the peace once again? And the Blessed Mother tells us that we need to pray for peace for ourselves. And when we have that peace, we can share that peace with other people. We want to have that peace from within. And it all stems from having peace with God, making amends with God, or asking God for forgiveness for the sins that we have committed, and being clean, starting anew, becoming truly a new creation, as it says in the book of Galatians. And we want to start fresh. And when we have that peace with God, we can share that peace with other people. He also talks about mercy. Are we offering mercy, or are we holding grudges? Are we forgiving others, as it talks about in the Our Father prayer? And we are called to forgive others. And God says, you know, if you don't forgive your brother, my Father in heaven will not forgive you, in the Word of God. So we are called to go first and to forgive others, to offer mercy and forgiveness. And we want to realize that we are, you know, a product of what we do. What goes around comes around. And God calls us once again to be merciful as he is merciful to us, forgiving us time and time again. And he says to the apostles in the gospel, you know, how many times should I forgive? Must I forgive, Lord? And he says 7 times 70. So it's an unlimited number of times that we are called to forgive other people. And it's hard to forgive. Sometimes it's hard to offer mercy, because we need humility to do it. And humility is something we need more of in the world today. And with humility, you can say beautiful things like, I forgive you, I love you, please, thank you, I appreciate you. You can give testimony about your life with humility, revealing things that you and I have gone through, all in the best interest of other people, to help them to avoid the things that you and I may have encountered during our lives. And in the WINGS program, in prison ministry, we see that very often. That rise of humility, where people can make a phone call and offer forgiveness, where people can invite others into their lives after years of separation. And this is what we are called to do through peace and mercy. And the word goes on to say that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Isn't that where we want to be, my friend? St. Paul reminds us that we want to be under the umbrella of God's grace. And to do that, we've got to be, you know, lined up with what he says to do and what he says not to do. Very, very important that we are in that zone of God's grace, where we are led by the Holy Spirit, where we are not separated from God. But when we, you know, have sin in our life that is, you know, held within, it is not, you know, something we offer back to God. We ask for forgiveness. When we do not do that, we live with it, that sinful state. We have work to do, my brothers and sisters. And it takes humility to go to confession. It takes humility to ask God for forgiveness. But God knows all. He sees all. He hears all. And he is waiting for you and I. He says, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door shall be opened for you. Seek and you will find. And so this is where we have to be humble enough to go forth and ask God for his forgiveness, to go to that sacrament of confession when we need to do it. And it's important that we start anew. We are a new creation. And this is true for all of us. For some of us more than others, but we are all sinners. But God calls us to be a new creation, to get rid of the old habits and begin new habits, to get rid of the old person and create a new creation, really to have more of Jesus in our life, to have his attributes, and to be more like, you know, Jesus himself. And this is where we have to strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, as we are told to do by Christ himself. And we never get there, but we do strive to get there. And this is important. Let's go to our third reading, which is our gospel reading today, from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 12 and 17 to 20. And here it is. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he had sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborers deserve its payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned rejoicing and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' Jesus said, 'I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. And behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Luke today, the word tells us that the harvest is abundant, but laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. And so the workers needed out there, my friends, are very few. We need to get more motivated, activated to engage in God's work. And once again, as I said earlier, it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we have that close relationship, the Holy Spirit will inspire you to engage in the work that is necessary for us to do. He will give you the tools necessary. God will send you out there prepared versus unprepared. He will not give you less than needed to handle responsibility. And I remember some of the ministry work that I was involved with, that God gave me the tools necessary to move forward, testing me time and time again. One of the great ministries we're involved with, of course, is prison ministry. And I remember being asked to go visit a man on death row over at one of the facilities in Pennsylvania. And this came through Holy Spirit radio. And the workers are needed in prison ministry, as they are in all kinds of ministry. But for me, at that time, God prepared me, and he allowed me to, you know, be involved with mentoring the youth and adult men in this different prisons. And then he offered me an opportunity to go to death row at a certain facility. That led to a 2.5 year to 3 year ministry and becoming a counselor and approved by the Catholic chaplain at that facility. But it was a special ministry that was needed for this individual who was being ostracized by other people because of his Catholicism. And I'll just tell you that now over 20-somewhat years I've been involved in prison ministry, where the laborers are few because this is an abrasive environment. And God has helped me to become comfortable with the uncomfortable situations and doing seminars within prisons themselves for many years. I just tell you that God will prepare you and give you everything you need. So all we have to do, my friends, is pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the guidance and direction necessary, and that God will lift you up and give you everything you need for those moments where you're trying to find what it is you want to do. But there are laborers needed in the vineyard. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So today, you know, I ask you to, you know, pray about your life and pray how you can be sent out into the vineyard and to work and engage as a laborer for the Lord in special ways. And the Lord repays you with a lot of joy and a lot of peace. And that's one of the beautiful things about service work. God gives you, you know, tremendous joy and peace in helping other people. Whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And that's the zone we want to be in. We want to realize that that's a product of our faith. The more in love you are with Christ, the more you'll want to serve Christ and serve his people, to do what he asks us to do. And again, trying to find those areas that you like to do or love to do, are so important because you won't stop doing it. You'll do it for many years, as we have been involved with radio ministry here at Holy Spirit Radio now since March 19, 1999, and also personally being involved in prison ministry and pro-life ministry, you know, which is so important. But there's a lot of work to be done. And my friends, on that note, we want to mention that the overturning of Roe v. Wade is a gift from God, something that the pro-life laborers have truly made great effort to overturn that great case, which was built on lies. The case of Roe v. Wade establishing, you know, the authorization, the legality of having an abortion, making it legal since 1973, when the U.S. Supreme Court said that human offspring are not persons before birth. The case was built on lies, and it took almost 50 years to overturn Roe v. Wade. And it took that long because, you know, it takes a lot of work to set up a great case. It takes Supreme Court justices who have a heart for God, a heart for fairness and equality, and a heart for the unborn child. And we have to say thank you truly to President Trump, who installed, you know, three Supreme Court justices who helped to get the work done and to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I remember being right here at Holy Spirit Radio on Voices for the Unborn with Bill Miller in 1999 and talking about this time and time again. And being with Joe Mortimer on Voices for the Unborn television show for 10 years, cutting close to 500 programs week in and week out for 10 years, all in the best interest of the life for the unborn child, trying to get the message out to educate others. I remember running for U.S. Congress in 2004 and having that on our platform, trying to overturn Roe v. Wade, something so important. But now, my friend, it has been done. And we thank God for that special gift that we have been given. Let's go to our gospel reading, my friends. Once again, just to highlight one or two things which is so important. That in the Word of God, the Word tells us if a peaceful person lives where you visit, your peace will be resting on him. But if not, it will be returned to you. So when you and I are out there in the field and we are greeted by like-minded people, most likely our peace will be received. And we are in good standing. But sometimes we are in other places. Like the Word said, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Because there are wolves out there in sheep's clothing. Not everyone will accept your peace from Christ. Not everyone will appreciate the faith that you and I have. So we want to realize that and be careful as we extend our hand, as we visit with others, go into courtrooms and communities and schools and meetings and are greeted by different people. Not everybody will be on the same page. And again, the Lord says the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So we will be out there engaging in the work of God, but not everybody is with us. And you have to ask yourself, my friends, are you with God or against him? Are you for the unborn child or against the unborn child? Are we out there doing God's work, bringing the peace of God into the hearts and minds of other people, or are we coming up short? Think about that, my friends. I challenge you today to go out and to bring the peace of God, the love of God to other people, That's our show for today. My name is Joe Montone, as Deacon Joe Montone. Have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.